With that, and no further delay, inshallah, it is our honor to invite Sheikh Ali Qummi to address the believers tonight, as we are here in a not only a Ramadan special, but a Palestine special as well. He's going to be speaking about Tufanul Ahrar, the flood of the free. We invite him with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani al-a'in ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّكُونَ. O you who have believed, decreed upon you is fasting, as it was decreed upon those before you, so that you may become righteous. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran states, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِّنَ الْحُدَى والفرقان. The month of Ramadan is that in which we revealed the Quran, a guidance for the people and clear proofs of guidance and criterion. Both of these verses that I've selected tonight, they're pertaining to the holy month of Ramadan, and they are regarding the fasting. If you notice, the religion of Islam, in several places, not just these two verses of Quran, emphasized on the importance of fasting. Similarly, a more stronger emphasis is laid upon the month of Ramadan. These are the signals for the believers to contemplate. One of the best ways to benefit from these verses of the Holy Quran, in addition to translation, like, you know, understanding and comprehending, would be to consult the tafsir of the ulama. There are so many great and beautiful points that we run across when we read these tafsir of the mufassirin of Islam. One of, you know, the great tafsir that we have available to us is that of Allama Tabatabai, Tafsir al-Mizan. So these verses, 183 and 185, even the middle verse, which is 184, it is pertaining to Mahir Ramadan. So I was looking at the tafsir of Allama Tabatabai yesterday in Tafsir al-Mizan, a day before. He talked about the philosophy and goal of fasting, you know. And this is something very important for all of us, to understand why we're doing something. A lot of times we do things as rituals, you know, traditionally, just because we are accustomed to do that. But then there's another time that we understand the philosophy of that particular act and then perform it. So here, Allama Tabatabai, and I just laid out a few interesting points. Basically, it's an invitation to the Hoza students and the scholars that if you have not yet referred to Tafsir al-Mizan when it comes to these verses, inshallah, take time out and go read it. Here, Allama Tabatabai, after talking about the philosophy and goal of fasting, he talks about fasting on the day of Ashura and how it is a bid'ah, which is an innovation of Banu Umayyah, right? So he categorically rejects the idea of fasting on the day of Ashura. And then he has his own reasoning there. You should consult it. Fasting is haram for a traveler, for instance, or someone who is sick, right? Again, when it comes to Ahlul Sunnah and our school of thought, according to many Sunni fuqaha, they say that it is makruh to fast while you're traveling. It is not necessarily haram. But when we look at our fiqh, you know, predominantly all of our fuqaha, they have a consensus on this topic. And again, Allama Tabatabai mentions it. Revelation of the Quran, the difference between Tanzil and Inzal. Inzal is that the wahi came at once, and Tanzil is that it was tadriji and gradual, right? Similarly, there's a beautiful discussion Allama Tabatabai does towards the end of the tafsir of these three verses. He takes this hadith Qudsi, a beautiful hadith Qudsi, and as the youth may know, may not know, hadith Qudsi is basically Kalamullah, but in the words of the Masoom, right? The message is directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This beautiful hadith Qudsi, As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bihi. That fasting is for me. And according to this, the translation would be, and I am the one who would reward for fasting. So beautiful, right? Allama Tabatabai here says a very beautiful point. He says that if we read and recite this hadith and this word ajzi as majhul, not as ma'loom for Hosa students, right? This is where it becomes really nice, knowing the adabiyat a little bit. If you recite this as majhul instead of ma'loom, the translation would be something like that fasting is for me and I am the reward of fasting. Not that I will reward for fasting. I myself am the reward for fasting. Look how it gives it a very profound and very arifana meaning, right? So again, these are the beautiful points that you can extract from the tafasir. So brothers, sisters, the month of Ramadan is basically the month of Quran. It's not just the month of fasting. It is the month of Quran. It is the month of attaining taqwa. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that maybe you attain taqwa. Again, if you notice, it is bilquwa, not bilfail. Which means, not that everybody enters the month of Ramadan is guaranteed to attain that desired level of taqwa at the end of Mahir Ramadan. Rather, the potential is there. One needs to work to cash out that potential, to benefit from that potential, right? So, in a nutshell, the goal of fasting, brothers and sisters, is attaining taqwa. You know, this is the qadr-e mutayyakan. Of course, there could be other goals, other benefits. We're focusing on this one part, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires for us to attain taqwa. Now, the question is, and this is where your smartphones are going to come in handy. Many people, they already have the smartphones in their hands, mashallah, because they're focusing on the lecture. So we're going to do a little exercise, because I know it becomes a bit tiring during the Mahir Ramadan to listen to long, wounded lectures. So I'm not going to guarantee you for it being a short lecture, but inshallah, we're going to try to make it as interesting as we can. If you recite a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So here, the poll I had was, there were six options and one question. Okay, you guys ready? So the question is, what is the use of taqwa? You know, we said that the goal of Mahir Ramadan is attaining taqwa. What is the use of this taqwa, right? What is the end use of it? Why should I attain taqwa? Some may say that, oh, to go to Jannah. Some may say, you know, to get, I don't know, sawab. You know, what else is there? So I had a few options I wrote down here. And let's see, inshallah, if somebody gets it wrong. The first option is, Allah accepts the actions of the muttaqeen. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He accepts from the muttaqeen all of the hasanat that we perform, brothers and sisters, especially the youth. All of the hasanat that we perform in our lives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it only if we have that bare minimum level of taqwa in us. Right? The second option here was the Holy Quran guides the muttaqeen. It is the kitab-e-hidayat, right? As we say. So it guides the muttaqeen. Hudal lil nas and hudal lil muttaqeen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there is this special guidance that is not umumi. That Quran provides for who? Those who have taqwa. The third option here is Taqwa compels one to resist the temptations and glamour of this dunya. You know, again, taqwa is that shield that helps us repel and stay away from falling into the trap of this dunya and its glamour. Dunya enough in itself, as one of the scholars here said in one of the speeches, it's not bad, as Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam has said. Right? But the temptations of the dunya, the glamour of the dunya, something that makes us ghafil from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and as of dunya, is definitely bad. And that is something we need to stay away from. The fourth option here is taqwa compels one to fight the internal enemy. You know, the nafs-e-ammara and the lowly desires that we have, the desire to cheat, the desire to backbite, the desire to lie for short-term, very trivial benefits. Isn't that right? So taqwa is something that takes us out of this whirlpool of desires and gives us the strength to fight our nafs-e-ammara and rectify our self. The next option here is that taqwa compels one to fight the external enemy. Unfortunately, when we look at the Muslim Ummah at large, unfortunately, because many of the Islamic concepts have not been interpreted properly based on the pure teachings of Prophet of Allah and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, hence, we have these wrong ideas of the right terminologies. So our concepts are wrong. The terminologies are correct. They come from Quran, for instance, right? But the implementation, the understanding, practicing those ideas is wrong. One of the very brazen and clear example that other scholars have mentioned from here too is iman which doesn't require taqwa, or iman without amal, even worse. Right? There is no such thing called iman that is not followed up with the action. We somehow think iman is a very conceptual thing. I just need to have it in my head or in my heart. Isn't that right? As a Muslim, many Muslims have this idea about iman that this doesn't require amal. Where if you look at Imam Khamenei, he uses the verses of Quran in Tarhekulli Andisha Islami Dar Quran, and he explains this idea that the claim that I am a mu'min, the claim that I have iman without action is null and void. It has no haysiyat. Right? So this is one example. Again, taqwa. Some people think it is an internal state which has to do with my personal ibadat, personal mu'amilat, and has nothing to do with the socio-political affairs of Islam. This is a very wrong understanding. This is the foundation of secularism. This very understanding, if somebody has it. And again, a lot of the things that I'm saying here, mashallah, they're ulama and scholars, you know, jasarat nashe. Since we're recording it, and inshallah, many people outside, they're going to be benefiting from these talks as well. That's why we're getting to the very nitty-gritty details. So the last option here was all of the above, right? So I think you already know the answer because I've explained it. It would have been much more enjoyable if I had not explained each option, but all of the above. We are looking for that from Maah Ramadan. What are we looking for? Taqwa. Taqwa, why? That comprehensive level of taqwa that is desired from a mu'min is what we're looking for. Not an individual level taqwa, where I am just acting on a very few ahkam of, and that to zahiri ahkam of Islam. Now, when we're talking taqwa, it involves our responsibility at socio-political level as well. So the next slide says, it means if someone, and this is important, brothers and sisters both, if someone refrains from fighting the internal or external enemies, chances are high that they have a serious weakness in their taqwa. And this is something we need to think about, introspect very sincerely and honestly. If you're ready to fight the shaitan within, the nafs-e ammara and the temptations of this world, but we're not ready to face the enemies of Islam who are conspiring against Islam, and we're not ready to stand up against the enemies of Islam, then there is something missing here. Generally speaking, what Islam says is that you have to fight the internal enemy, this is a battle, and then the external enemy is also a front that you have to fight on. Of course, exceptions are there in every case. Now, one of the clear, obvious, and certified manifestations of taqwa today are those who are fighting the enemies of Islam, especially the Zionist regime of Israel. And I wish you could see the picture. I had a picture of a Palestinian soldier with two flags in his hand, right? He is standing there. He is making sure that his presence as an individual, he's standing alone in smoke. I was not going to explain it. I was going to let the picture speak. But he's standing there alone, you know, acting on the verse of the Quran. أَنْتَكُومُ لِلَّهِ مَثْنَا وَفُرَادَ. And this very verse of Quran, as I've stated earlier too, in 1944, Imam Khomeini Rizwanullah Ta'ala Alayhi, he wrote the manifestation that had the roadmap of what he is about to do and what he believes in. And it starts, that manifesto, it starts with this verse of the Holy Quran, أَنْتَكُومُ لِلَّهِ مَثْنَا وَفُرَادَ. This is who Imam Khomeini Rizwanullah Ta'ala Alayhi was. And those who follow Imam Khomeini, look up to him as a role model, they believe in this verse in the same manner. It doesn't matter if there are others accompanying you or not. At the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask you, did you fulfill your duty? He's not going to ask, did others fulfill their duties? He's not going to ask me, right? As long as I'm fulfilling my duty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to accept it. Then, you know, we have a statement of Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. He was on the screen. He said, in the last century or more, no Muslim nation has ever faced an enemy like the enemy the Palestinians are facing today. The Muslim nations and the Muslim countries have never faced an enemy that was this evil, this malicious, this brutal, and this bloodthirsty. Nations have been oppressed on many occasions, but their enemies have never been this shameless, this evil, and this brutal. No Muslim nation has been under or is under such pressure, been besieged, or faced shortages like the Palestinian nation has. You don't see this in the world, nor in the era that we are living in. This is Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei talking about the Palestinian nation. Then the next poll I had, because I knew that by this time you're going to be dizzy, which you all look dizzy, so I had another poll planted on purpose to wake you up, but now we have to do it again, that interactive, informal style. If you recite a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So there's this question, I don't know, maybe you have also talked to your relatives or your friends outside of Iran. Maybe in Iran too this question is raised, but I've heard it from outside. And the question is the Zionist regime victorious or the Palestinian resistance? This is a question each one of us now or in the past had in our minds or have in our minds, right? Who out of the two are victorious, right? How do we go about it? So the poll said Palestinian resistance, and the poll said the Zionist regime, and then the third option was not sure. So let me see some hands. Who out of you think Palestinian resistance is victorious in this conflict? That's like 25, 30%, 40%, okay, got to 50%, 60, almost 60% of people sitting here. Sisters, I think all of them agree that Palestinians are losing. Sisters, let me see some hands there, inshallah. Let me see some hands. Okay, we have many hands there too, inshallah. Hopefully, if you recite a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Let's assume that majority of the people here, that they say not sure. Because, you know, some people, even if they raise their hands, they looked a little lost. So let's talk about it, right? Let's discuss. How do we analyze such a question? When somebody asks, who is winning out of the two teams, right? How do you answer? And the attempt here is, inshallah, to teach you or to give you some ways of how to do political analysis, right? In political analysis, you have to have the right questions up your sleeve, right? So the first question you ask is, regarding this conflict or others, look at the defined goals of each side. What is the hadaf? What are the demands? What are the goals that each one of these two sides have? So if you look at the Zionist regime of Israel, the first and foremost goal that they said they have is to free their hostages, the occupiers, which were taken hostages by the Palestinian resistance. They wanted to release them, right? That's the first and foremost defined goal of the Zionist regime of Israel. 6 months ago, they said that we are going to get and claim back these occupiers, these filthy occupiers who have been occupying Palestinian land and are now hostages of the Palestinian resistance. They said that we're going to get them freed up. The question, what happened with that goal? Were they able to free up even one of these hostages, these occupiers? No. No. The second question, another demand that they had was disarming the resistance, the Islamic resistance and the Palestinian resistance, and crushing this resistance completely. What happened with this goal? Brothers and sisters, there has been no significant loss of the resistance, the Palestinian resistance, at the hands of the Zionist regime of Israel. In 6 months. No high-ranking official of the Palestinian resistance. None of their places where they stored their weapons and they saved their weapons. None of the tunnels, nothing has been damaged. No infrastructure of the resistance has been damaged. And I'll get to something which you have in mind in a minute. But this is the defined goal. They never said that we are going to Palestine to crush the ordinary people. They said that we are going after Hamas and the resistance. Isn't that right? What happened with Hamas? Nothing. There's no loss. No serious loss that they have incurred. The third hadaf of the Zionist regime was terrorizing Palestinians to surrender. So they were thinking that if we go with full force and all might, Palestinians are just going to kneel down and they're going to say, you know, we give up. We surrender. What happened with that? Do you know of any Palestinian faction or group of Palestinian Muslims who are opposing the Palestinian resistance and they are ready to and go and give their country to the occupiers? Have you seen any protests? Nothing. The nation is with the resistance. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. The fourth question, they wanted to, or the fourth point or hadaf, they wanted to assassinate the top brass of Hamas and Jihad-e-Islami and Al-Qassam Brigade and all of the resistance factions. There are 50 plus groups in Palestine, armed groups, alhamdulillah, and in Gaza Strip as well, in Gaza as well, in West Bank as well. So were they able to assassinate any top ranking official is my question, any top brass management of Palestinians? So brothers and sisters, when an entity, a legitimate country, or in this case, an illegitimate country, goes out to a war with another country with defined objectives and goals, and they're not able to meet those defined objectives and goals, according to international politics, they have lost. They have lost. On the record. And the same thing happened in 2006, same thing happened in 2008. Right? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. the Palestinians are winning. So now, let's talk about what you had in mind, and I could see it on your faces, and we all have in our hearts and minds. Killing of the oppressed, innocent men, women, children, bombing of hospitals, masjids, church, public places, homes, infrastructure, carpet bombing, Gaza Strip, which is a very small area, very little area. How do we put that into the equation? One can say that we are taking the beating. Brothers and sisters, what Israel is doing, as Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei says, is cowardice. It's cowardice. It is frustration. It is their anger. It is their desperation. It is their madness. This is what they're doing. Killing the innocent men, women, and children to show what? Your muscle power? You're right. Nobody in the world would accept the fact and the notion that somebody who is oppressing women and children and babies. According to the United Nations, over 10,000 babies have been. It's been a graveyard. I read it somewhere. United Nations said it's a graveyard of babies. They named this to Gaza, right? Who can prove their bravery through killing babies? No one. And indeed, no one in the world today looks at the Zionist regime of Israel, despite all this oppression, brutality that they have committed against the innocent people of Gaza, to be brave. This is the last thing on the list. They're cowards. They're just frustrated. They're cheap. They're desperate because they can't find the fight the resistance. Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So, you know, no food, no water. Humanitarian aid is not getting to them. No medicines. Right? What do you call it? What are they attempting to do? When you do it to the regular people, normal people, it is called ethnic cleansing. It is called genocide. And after 6 months of nonstop aggression and oppression, and inappropriate and unproportioned oppression of the Zionist regime of Israel, now the United Nations as well calls it a genocide. 5 months later. Shame on these organizations who are just a tool for the oppressors, for the aggressors, to further their agenda in the region and throughout the world. We have explained it before in one of the speeches. United Nations, this World Bank, this IMF, all of these, they're all tools and means. The philosophy of their creation, their falsafa wujudi, is to assist and help the zalimeen to have a stronger grip on the world. This is why they were created from day one, no matter what their alleged purpose of creation was. Anyways, moving on, the world has stood up against the Zionist regime of Israel, brothers and sisters. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, it's not just the Palestinians anymore, it's not just the Arabs anymore, it's not just the Muslims anymore, it's just not just the Shias anymore, it's not just the Sunnis anymore, it is the humanity at large standing up against the Zionist regime of Israel today.
Death to Israel!
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 Look at the defined goals of the Palestine, like Palestinian resistance in Palestine. The first defined goal was resistance against occupying Zionists. From day one of this defined goal, the Palestinian resistance has never backed off. In whatever capacity possible for them, they have been resisting against the Zionist regime of Israel, this illegal occupation. Number two, the second hadaf, dismantlement of illegal and illegitimate Zionist regime. The Zionist regime had no right to exist from day one. And this has been one of the very defined key principle and key goal of the Palestinians and especially the Palestinian resistance, that they do not accept the Zionist regime of Israel as a country. And it has to be dismantled. And by the way, let me tell you this. Those who speak about the two-state solution and everything, right, they are so peaceful that they are now proposing, oh, no, 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 let's just split it up. Well, split it up, who gave you the right to split it up? If anything, the Palestinians themselves have the right to even give the entire property of theirs to someone else. Nobody else. No country, no individual, no group, no sect of Islam. Nobody has the right to give away their property to someone else. If anything, only Palestinians have that right if they wish to do so. It's just like your house. Who has the authority to give away your house to a third party? Nobody. Yeah, if you want to do it, that's fine. But as we see it, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Palestinians from day one till now, they have never compromised to a point where they would say that, no, we are ready to compromise and split it up. Okay? So nobody else has the right. Principle stance is that the Zionist regime of Israel, since it's illegal, its inception was illegal, it has to go. Sooner or later, how it happens, the method of it going away, we can care less about. We don't care how it happens. What we're talking about right now is that it has to go away because its very inception is illegal. And by the way, if it is getting too scary, you know, let me say this before I recite a verse for you, that the United Nations, right? The United Nations, Hafizahullah, right? Alayhim as-salam, right? The United Nations has said that the Palestinians have the right to defend themselves using the weapons. It is their God-given, it is their natural right to be able to resist the occupation like any other nation. The United Nations even recognizes that, to put you all in your comfort zone, yeah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ. So this is a direct command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So be steadfast, just as you have been commanded. Istakama, as Imam Khamenei explains it, it's not patience. It's sabr is istakama. Istakama is being steadfast, resilient. Right? Quran says, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكْ. As you have been commanded, those who have turned to Allah with the Prophet of Allah. And then the verse continues, إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. And do not overstep the bounds, which was وَلَا تَطْغَوْ. Do not overstep the bounds. Indeed, He watches what you do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is khabir, right? So now, in Islam, resistance against oppression itself is a form of victory. We have to familiarize ourselves with the ethics and the moral system, the akhlaqi system of Islam. In Islamic ethos, standing up against oppressors, fighting oppression, is a sort of victory enough in itself, no matter what the outcome be. And hence, when we look at someone like Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Sayyidul Shuhada alayhi salam, his uprising against the zalim of his time, it is victory. Even if he gets martyred. We need to understand the mizaj of Islam, right? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, what the Palestinians are doing, their defined objectives, their defined goals are getting fulfilled, while the Zionist regime of Israel, their defined objectives and their defined goals are not being fulfilled. So based on this, very clear answer, as of today, as of right now, we're not talking about future, Palestinians are victorious. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Please recite us, Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Here there are a couple other verses of the Holy Quran as well, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعِدُّ لَهُمَّ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ كُوَّةٍ وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ تُرْحِبُونَ بِهِ أُدُوَّ اللَّهِ وَأُدُوَّكُمْ. That prepare all you can, you know, prepare the horses, gain the power, and in this case, military power, according to the Mufassirin, prepare against them, the enemies of Islam, wherever you can and however much you can. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, strike fear in the hearts of the enemy of Allah. Let me ask you a question. Why is it that the enemies of Allah, before they do any jasarat against Islam or the Muslimin or the Islamic lands, why are they not feeling scared of a reaction from Muslims? This is a question for all of us. We're not less in number. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you should have rub in their hearts before they act, before they think of doing anything wrong to any Muslim or Islam or Islamic lands. They should think twice. Do they? Let me ask you this. Do they think twice? This is a wake-up call for us. And if we say, no, it's our strategy, well, this strategy is completely against Islam. The teachings of Islam. That you let the enemies of Islam become audacious. This is not something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to do. We cannot allow the enemies of Islam to be audacious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again here says, and the ulama, Rahbar has recited this verse, he says, أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. That permission to fight is granted to those who are attacked. I'm speaking on these issues because there are some Muslims, some unfortunately impotent Muslims, who keep talking about peace, peace with the Zionist regime, not taking up the fight. Well, how can you preach something that is against Islam? How can you preach something that is against the established principles of humanity? How can you preach something that is not in line and rather against what the leader of the Muslim Ummah, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the Hujjat-e-Shar'i, the Waliul Faqih is saying? Unfortunately, these topics, because many of the Muballighin, they don't talk about it, so these seculars, these liberals, they come in the name of Islam, they start preaching something that is of the liberalism. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those who have been wronged, those who have been attacked, those who have been oppressed, those mu'mineen, those believers, they have been given the permission to fight back. And Allah indeed has the power to help them. The next question was, in your opinion, is Iran helping Palestine? Let's answer this. If you recite a salawat, ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So again, all of these questions that I've come up with, it's because of these people who do ruju in some sense, you know, so they ask these questions. And then living in Qom, living in Iran, you know, many of these things are already self-evident for us, especially for the Hoza students, alhamdulillah. They read good books, you know, of good scholars, so they already know. But again, you know, since these are the questions that are floating around, and these are the questions that the enemy uses to weaken our narrative and weaken our side, we are compelled to talk about it. In your opinion, is Iran helping Palestine or not? Some say, yes, it is helping fully. The other says, yes, to an extent. The third says, no, not at all. The fourth says, no, maybe a little bit. Right? So these are the four options. Different people have different understandings based on their own analysis of what is transpiring in Palestine or in Gaza or on the occupied lands. If you notice, these questions again, where are they coming from? Before we answer this question, where are they coming from? It is coming from the fact that the enemy doesn't want to see that the Islamic Republic of Iran be at the top of this axis of resistance or camp of resistance and run it. In other words, they don't want to see Waliul Faqih to be in charge of the affairs of the Muslim Ummah, which is in line with the hadith of the Masoom, not just one hadith, many hadith. Because they don't want to see this happening, they try to weaken the camp of resistance. Right? So they are like, oh, Iran just got Palestinians into trouble without, now when the time came to help them, you know, Iran is not getting involved in the conflict. Have you heard that? Right? Iran is not getting involved. Well, first of all, brothers and sisters, I wish you could see these pictures. Who else has been helping Palestine for 70 plus years? This is a question you should be asking rhetorically to such people. Who else has been there? Who else has empowered Palestine to be able to get to this level of strength? Whose support? When, if ever, has Iran changed its stance regarding Palestine? You know, just say that, oh, in 1970s or 80s or 90s, you know, that Iran just... No. Iran has been there all along, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Right? So where does this question come from? Why is it that the mu'mineen are being confused? Right? Even when there was a time that there was a slogan, I think it's still shy that gets chanted. Na Gaza na Lubnan, Janam Fidaye Iran. Those who are new here, you know, to Iran, this is an interesting slogan. I heard about it when I came here. Na Gaza na Lubnan, Janam Fidaye Iran, right? That, oh, we just, these are those nationalists, those hyper-nationalists, right? They came up with this slogan. Even when this slogan was at its peak, did Iran shy away from supporting Palestine? No. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Iran, in fact, it sacrificed, it gave serious sacrifices when it comes to Iran's national interest, countless numbers of times for its unwavering support of Palestine. You know, I'm so surprised when some people say that, oh, you know, Iranians are nationalists and they just whitewash, you know, all of the sacrifices and all of the efforts that Iran has actually performed in pursuit of strengthening the Muslim Ummah. You know, they say, oh, no, they're nationalists and they're this and that. Baba, they have... These economic sanctions are because of what Iran has been doing to strengthen the Muslim Ummah. Been a little under the weather. I apologize. Right, so economic sanctions, trade embargoes, inflation and currency, you know, depreciation, limits to travel for many Iranians, you know. Alhamdulillah, we who say that, you know, many of us who say that, you know, they're nationalists and everything, we get stopped at the airport for 2 extra hours and we are ready to give away everything that we have learned at the Hawza, everything that Quran and Hadith has taught us, and we are like, no, we're just going to have an escape route and not be in confrontation with these airport authorities, those useless airport authorities. And then we turn back and say, Iran is such and such and such. But why? Because one of these shopkeepers was not nice enough to us. This is unfair, right? You know, Iran, it has sacrificed the best of its men for Islam. Shahid Haj Qasim Soleimani, Shahid Razi Musavi, Shahid Muhammad Raza Zahidi, just 2 days ago. In Sham, right? And again, I wish you could see the pictures, but they're just in front of me right now. I'm doing ziyarat on your behalf for the elevation of their souls and their ranks, inshallah, and that they be mashur with Sayyidul Shuhada and the Shuhada of Karbala. Please recite the salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allah. From Imam Khomeini to Imam Khamenei, Iran's position never changed with respect to Palestine, brothers and sisters. Imam Khamenei says, today, the Islamic Republic explicitly and openly expresses what is in the hearts of the oppressed Muslims of Palestine. We do not care what others think. We state the truth in a loud voice. We support and defend the Palestinian nation, and we declare that we will defend them. We will defend the Palestinian nation in whatever way we can. This is Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei in 2023. Some munafiqeen and some shallow people, they say that these are just slogans and words. You know, it's unfortunately like situation when you deal with the people who don't know enough or who are hell-bent and adamant in opposing the stances of the leader. They have so many things up their sleeves, you become surprised. So unless we are prepared to talk to them, we're not going to be able to crush their stances. So some munafiqeen and some shallow ones, they say that these are slogans and words. Well, brothers and sisters, if these are words only, why does the US continue to attack the Islamic Republic through Israel and ISIS? Remember the attack in Kerman. The enemy knows that these are not hollow words and slogans. The enemy knows where to attack. It's just that some of the hypocrites, some of the munafiqeen, and some of the shallow people whose analysis is shallow, they can't see it. America knows, Israel knows, Daesh knows. It's just this brother doesn't know, masalan. The whole world knows the camp of resistance is being led by the Islamic Republic of Iran. Therefore, the enemy keeps attacking the Islamic Republic of Iran. Remember what the Palestinian resistance called Shahid Haj Qasim Soleimani. He was given the title Shahid al-Quds by the Palestinian resistance. Don't fall for the propaganda of the enemy ever. The Palestinians, you know, Hamas, Al-Qassam Brigade, Islamic Jihad, Saraya Al-Quds Brigade, Lion's Den, 50 plus armed resistance groups. They're operating in Palestine, 50 plus, right? And look what Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei says, supporting the Palestinian resistance forces vis-a-vis the Zionist occupiers is the Islamic Republic of Iran's permanent policy. Unshakable, permanent policy. And alhamdulillah, we testify to this as we have seen it in all these years. Again, I wish you could see these pictures. There's Imam Khamenei standing, there's Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, Abdul Malik al-Husi, Ismail Haniyeh, and then we have from Iraq, and then some flags, and then some soldiers. Anyways, it was a beautiful, beautiful picture that you should have seen. We will try to edit it in the video. So, inshallah, for those of you who, inshallah, get an opportunity to see it, you can watch it in the video, or the presentation is available, right? Akram al-Ka'abi from Iraq, Kataib Hezbollah, right? An-Nujaba. Anyways, I'm coming to this last portion of my talk, and I'm going to try to keep it short, but I think it's very important. Just before yesterday, the theme I had in mind that I was going to present to you guys and prepare for was different from what I'm doing right now. And the reason I changed it is because every year, the camp of resistance, mainly primarily Hezbollah from Lebanon, they announce a theme for Al-Quds Day every year. And yesterday, is it when they announced it or I saw it yesterday, one of the two things. So it is called Tufanul Ahrar. Remember Tufanul Aqsa? This is Tufanul Ahrar. Tufan in Arabic language, and I had mubasas with Arab brothers because they keep translating it as flood. And we were saying storm. So they're like, no, in Arabic, we say flood and storm both. So I had some mubasas, and then one of the brothers here, one of the scholars, he asked me too. So you can use flood or storm. It doesn't matter because At the end of the day, inshallah, this is going to annihilate the Zionist regime of Israel. Whether it's a storm or flood, it doesn't really matter. Please recite a salawat. So, Flood of the Free is the title, and the beautiful thing was, which is why I dropped rest of my own presentation, is because some of the greats, people you should be listening to, they gave these small messages on this Tufanul Ahrar. One of those greats is Sayyid Abdul Malik Al-Husi from Yemen. Another great is Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah from Lebanon. The other great is, you know, some from Jihad Islami. I want to go through these, you know, and I think sometimes, you know, I want to say other things, but then I know nobody is going to, or majority of the people here, they're not going to go and refer to these. Otherwise, I would just send it on the group. So what I'm going to do is, I've selected a few statements from each one of their message, and inshallah, together we're going to go through those, right? Again, I wish we had the slides. I don't know how we're going to do that, but it is important for us to know what the camp of resistance itself is saying. Don't listen to anyone else. Yes, our teachers are great, but our teachers, unless they are in line with Imam Sayyid Khamenei and the camp of resistance, are no good. And alhamdulillah, there are many at the Hawza who are in line with the narrative of Imam Sayyid Khamenei and the narrative of resistance. Right? So it is important to go to the source. Right? You know in Hawza we say Manabe Awaliye, right? It is always recommended to go to Manabe Awaliye for any research, right? To create any position and stuff, right? When you write a research paper, your teachers will tell you, try to go to Manabe Awaliye, right? These are the oldest main sources. When it comes to the camp of resistance, when it comes to the Islamic movement, the Manabe Awaliye, or I should say, the only mamba is Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei that we need to refer to. And whoever is in line with him, chash, Allah Rasi, they should be respected, they should be listened to. But if somebody is not in line with Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei's position on any issue, we should be skeptical about it, especially when it comes to the socio-political issues of the Muslim Ummah. Please recite a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So the first statement is from the Al-Nujaba Akram Al-Ka'bi, right? The Islamic resistance in Iraq, he says, and I'm going to be reading verbatim. The Islamic resistance in Iraq has reached Zionist bases in Al-Jawlan, Tel Aviv, Ashdod, Haifa, and Rashrash. Then he continues, if the brutal attacks on Gaza continue, we will target more important bases and our operation will expand. He says, when we announced we wouldn't leave Palestine and Al-Quds alone, it was no mere slogan, but a fixed doctrine in our Islamic line of thought. He continues, the strength and steadfastness of resistance today is the fruit of the seed planted by Imam Khomeini 45 years ago when he first announced International Al-Quds Day. Then he continues, unfortunately, so many sit silent. Again, please pay attention. Unfortunately, so many sit silent watching the massacre in Gaza. Compromised Arab regimes only care about Zion's interest and support the occupiers who have violated their families and nations. So this was Sheikh Akram Al-Ka'bi from Al-Nujaba, Iraq. And he is like one of the very, like I think he's general secretary or something. He's high ranking. The next one is Hadi Al-Amiri. He's from Hashd al-Sha'bi, Iraq. And why I'm telling you these is, again, we're going directly to the source. When we say the camp of resistance, the axis of resistance, let's see how they're thinking. And these are from yesterday. These statements, these messages are from yesterday, so they're not old. Hadi Al-Amiri, he says, the resistance pushed the occupation entity down the slope of defeat, as repeatedly acknowledged by its officials, who keep confirming that they are facing existential challenges. Al-Aqsa flood washed away and exposed all traitorous countries engaged in normalization. Remember the normalization, right, a while ago, of these Arab countries and governments, right? He says that it exposed all the countries engaged in normalization, revealing just how much the whole of the world rejects the entity. He continues, Al-Aqsa flood put the countries of global arrogance in the circle of condemnation and rejection. And it became clear that America and the West are behind the crimes of the entity. The criminal plot in Gaza has revealed the truth about America and the West. Then he continues, to Gaza, we console you with our souls and our blood. It was not the honorable resistors who let you down, but the cowards and the normalizers. This was, again, Hadi al-Amiri from Hashd al-Sha'bi, Iraq. And what is Hashd al-Sha'bi? It was created by Ayatollah Sistani, Hafazahullah. Right? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, our ulama, our fuqaha, they are fulfilling their responsibility to strengthen this camp of resistance. So this was this official statement from one of their high-ranking officers. The next one is Ziyad al-Nakhala. He's from Islamic Jihad in Palestine. Again, he's a top-ranking officer there. He says, the sons of Gaza stand with legendary steadfastness in the face of the forces of evil represented by the occupation entity and its supporter, the U.S. regime and its allies. Despite the siege and starvation, we have discovered that our Arab and Muslim brothers are unable to offer even a sip of water to the thirsty. We demand our Arab brothers to treat us as they treat Israel, because everything the entity needs comes to it from the countries that deny us everything. This is Islamic Jihad official talking about other treacherous Islamic and Arab so-called Islamic governments. The importance of resistance forces lie in unity, standing shoulder to shoulder alongside the men of resistance in Palestine, Lebanon, Yemen, Iraq, and Syria. Brothers and sisters, another thing, inshallah, we will open up some other day, is this idea of unity. Unity is around haq. Unity is not around hoax. Unity is not around scams. Unity is not around fasha. Unity is around tawheed. Unity is around principles. Here too, if you notice, he says resistance in Palestine. We have to be united around them. We have to be united around Aqsa. Right? Not just unity. Oh, just let's just get together. Have a party. Have a group. No, unity around principles. This is what Islam has preached us. Not just people coming together and calling themselves to be united and having no principles. That's not the idea. We commend, and he continues, who? This guy, Ziyad al-Nakhala, Islamic Jihad, Palestine. He says, we commend Iran's support for the resistance and its people and its efforts to enhance the strength of the resistance and its capabilities. We note the Islamic Republic of Iran's historic role in supporting the resistance in all forms. Then we move on to Sayyid Abdul Malik al-Husi, and there are just a couple more people and then I'm ending. Sayyid Abdul Malik al-Husi from Ansarullah, Yemen. He says, Yemen officially and popularly stands with all its capabilities in support of the oppressed Palestinian people, the Ummah's sanctities, and the foremost, the Al-Aqsa Mosque. The effectiveness of the Yemeni stance was manifested to the whole world from the Red Sea to the Indian Ocean and to the south of occupied Palestine. Since the beginning of the Al-Aqsa flood battle, we have directed our support with everything we can and continuously seek to develop our capabilities. In contrast to American support for the Israeli enemy, there is a significant shortfall from Muslims in standing with the Palestinian people. Again, look, he's complaining. They look at the enemy, they help each other, they come to aid each other. But where are the Muslims? He's complaining as well. The Palestinian cause is the central issue of the Ummah, distinguished by the fact that the right in it is extremely clear and evident. What distinguishes the Palestinian cause is that it is a cause linked to the fate of the Ummah. You know, one question some people sometimes ask is, should I not be concerned about the issues of my country, my own country, rather than Palestine? You know, is my country not important? Well, of course your country is important. Of course, wherever you come from, your country is important. The issues of your country are important too. But when it comes to Palestine, you have to, and we'll explain why, you have to prioritize the issue of Palestine over the issues of your own country, your domestic issues. And this is for everyone and anyone. The first reason, why do we say that? The first reason, because Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of the Muslim Ummah, the Wali al-Faqih, the Hujjah, Shar'i Hujjah upon each one of us has said so. Tamam. Good. And if you want a logical, more logical answer, well, this is our logic, but more logical answer, that is that the issues of every country in the region or otherwise are connected to the issue of Palestine. If the issue of Palestine gets resolved, you will see that the issue of Kashmir will get resolved. They're connected. Don't look at all of these issues disconnected and disjointed. We have to concentrate, more strategic answer now, we have to concentrate our energies on things that are prioritized by the leader. You know how armies work, right? Navy, Air Force, or they look at what the leader has said and then they just focus. They don't question. You know, in a way, Islam is like that. Once you know about Haq in the time of Prophet, if you have understood that he is the Nabi of Allah, then whatever he says, chush. In the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam, if you have understood, you have realized that Imam Ali alayhi salam is the Imam of the time, once you have come to this conclusion, this yakin, after that, whatever Imam Ali alayhi salam says, chush, at your service, right? Similarly with the rest of the Imams, in the time of Ghaiba, what do? Is this divine law suspended for now then? No, we have Waliul Faqih, alhamdulillah, we live in beautiful times. Maybe in the past, people did not have such a clear hierarchy defined for them, the Muslims. Alhamdulillah, today we have it. It's a blessing. So if somebody is not availing this blessing, they're actually not being shakir, and they're not doing shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So we have the Waliul Faqih. Now, whatever Waliul Faqih says in socio-political arena, chush, he's the naib of Imam. He has proven himself in all these decades, right? So it is very obvious and clear for those who want to follow. And by the way, a lot of people, one of the reasons they shy away from Rahbar, especially those who are living in the West, is because when you subscribe to Rahbar himself, then in other words, you're subscribing to what he's saying. And if you look at what he's saying, then somebody living in the West has a difficult time subscribing to what he's saying, because he's openly condemning the role of the United States of America in the world. Isn't that right? He's openly calling it the Great Satan. He's openly pushing for the slogan, Death to America. So somebody who comes from the West, especially from the US, you know, because I've lived in the US, so I know it a little better about US than other places, it's difficult. But again, brothers and sisters, let me ask you, when was it easy? Throughout the history, when was it easy? When was being with the Haq and being with truth easy for anyone? You look at the Ashab of Imams during their lifetimes, was it easy for any one of them? No, it was always difficult. And even today it is difficult. And we agree, we understand. But again, what are the options here? What are the choices here? What can one do? Give up their faith? Let the enemies of Islam, let the enemies of humanity continue what they're doing and turn a blind eye towards them, at least practically speaking? Just have their hatred in our hearts and that's about it? You know, what are the choices? The choices are, no, we walk the path of resistance. Because Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei says that yes, there is a price. There is a price of resistance, but there is a price of compromise as well. And then he says that the price you pay as a result of compromise with the Shaitan-e-Akbar is higher than the price you would end up paying for resisting against Shaitan-e-Akbar. That's his logic. Again, we are no ones to give direction to anyone or to, you know, tell them what to do. No, it's above our pay grade, you know, who are we? Right? We are just a small little student of Hoza, a humble student of Hoza. When we are talking about someone like Sayyid Ali Khamenei, and when he says something, he means it. There's proper research behind it. There's experience behind it. But unfortunately, just like what we did with the infallible and immaculate imams, we somehow end up doing similar things to Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. We love him, we respect him, we like his display picture, we put it on our phones, but when it comes to listening to what he's saying and acting on it, we come up with excuses. Just like they came up with excuses in the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. It's hot, it's cold, my wife is like that, my husband is like that, right? My job, I have kids, you know, all of these things. So brothers and sisters, it was a tangent that I think was useful. The last statement I'm going to read from is Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah from Hezbollah, our beloved Sayyid. He says, we must pause in appreciation and respect for the direct combat support fronts in Lebanon, Yemen, and Iraq. We thank the support and hosting fronts in the Islamic Republic of Iran, which face many threats and pressures, both physically and covertly. Iran bears the credit of what the resistance does, whether in Gaza, the West Bank, Lebanon, Yemen, or Iraq. The Islamic Republic is steadfast in its leadership and in its clear, decisive stance supporting the Palestinian cause and resistance movements in the region. All this bombing, threats, intimidations, and pressures over 6 months have not altered Syria's supportive hosting, backing, stance of all resistance movements in the region. We must pause to appreciate, and this is again very relevant and very important for many of you. We must pause to appreciate the honorable mass movement in many countries around the world, even inside America, Britain, and the West, which must be built upon and presented. Again, don't we know of those who have been telling that no, we should not speak up for Palestine in the West because we live in the West? We have seen Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei supporting these rallies and these protests in the West in support of Palestine. Previously, now Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah is also saying, he even named it. He said, even inside America, Britain, and the West. Right? We must specifically salute the people of Yemen and Yemeni people. What is happening today in Palestine, the region, and the world is a flood in every sense of the word. And we hope that this flood will grow and intensify. Remember Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei saying, what did he say? He said that Al-Aqsa storm is not to stop. It is going to continue till the destruction, inshallah, the destruction and annihilation of the Zionist regime of Israel. Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah says, what is happening in Palestine, the region, and the world is a flood of free people. And this is the topic which we were not able to come to the topic because of so many drive-bys. Right? He says that it's a flood of free people. And we hope that it will grow, increase, and strengthen over time. Sayyidat Nasrullah says, the Al-Aqsa flood has put the entity on the brink of final collapse and disappearance, and the signs of this will appear over time. Again, Sayyidat Nasrullah is someone who, when he says something, the enemy says that he doesn't lie. He says that Al-Aqsa flood has put the entity, the illegal entity, on the brink of final collapse and disappearance. I have more statements. I wish we had slides. I'm just going to skip them. And then we had some statements where, you know, we show how these protests, and I'm sure all of you, alhamdulillah, that you are on social media looking at these things, but just wanted to show it on the big screen, how millions of people everywhere are gathering, right? And, you know, from Jordan to Tunisia to Qatar, it's true that their governments are treacherous governments, but the people and their hearts are with the Palestinians. Qatar, Turkey, you know, Yemen, Pakistan, UK, Canada, US. I had pictures of all of these places, you know, but you can see it online. And this is, you know, kind of the conclusion of today. Number one, brothers and sisters, Palestine is going to be liberated no matter what. We have promises from the likes of Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. We have promises from the likes of Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah. So we have no doubt about it. Also, it's one of the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he frees the oppressed from the clutches of the oppressors. So alhamdulillah, you know, they have done everything right about the Tufan al-Aqsa, and now it has turned into Tufan al-Ahrar, the flood of the free people.
Free Palestine.
Free Palestine.
We know the treacherous, and we know the evil and the oppressive and the brutal and the child killer, baby killer Zionist regime is going to vanish. It is deemed and it is bound to vanish. Right? It cannot stay like this. We don't talk about, Sayyidina Nasrullah in one place said, I'm just going to say it, we don't talk about the greater Israel anymore. What greater Israel? Even this Israel is not manageable anymore. Baby Israel is not even sustainable anymore. Yeah. So, you know, remember, the plan of the enemies was to come and take over from Nile to Euphrates. And look how the resistance has actually pushed them back. Rest assured, those who were silent in all these times, they have no credit to claim today or tomorrow. They have no credit to claim when Palestine gets liberated. They have no credit to claim that this cancerous tumor, this Zionist regime, did not expand, because the very nature of this Zionist regime was to expand in the entire region and take control of this entire region. Those who were silent, for whatever reason they can explain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, none of my business. Those who were silent, rest assured, they have no right to claim to be on the side of the oppressed on the Day of Judgment. They have not done the needful. Their silence has actually killed us. Many of them have backstabbed us. Right? We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we never become one of those who are silent when oppression is going on, especially when the leader is taking stands, especially when we are giving shuhada, especially when the babies of the Muslim ummah are being massacred and killed, especially when a genocide is orchestrated and planned and executed against the ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that day when we become oblivious towards this. So we pray to Allah, inshallah, that we continue to do our responsibility in this jihad-e-tabyeen. You know, it is important as Hosa students for each one of us to be able to explain these in our circles. You know, we all have our circles of, you know, relatives and friends. May Allah give us the tawfiq to be able to do that. Inshallah, tomorrow, SOQ, from SOQ to the main rally, we're going to be going as a team, you know, international students, going there so we can express ourselves, and the Iranians, the local Iranians, can see that these international people, they are also standing up for the rights of the Palestine and the oppressed, right? So, like previous years, we will inshallah gather here at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning at the door of SOQ. Together with our families, we walk and go join the main rally. You know, so we will be part of the main rally, just not going there individually and independently. Inshallah, we go together as a team. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all of our amal this Maha Ramadan, especially the volunteers who have put together these beautiful programs, you know, serve food and, you know, cleaned and so many management stuff that was going on behind the scenes, and they organized and planned these events. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all these volunteers, especially the youth, the media team, the food team, the serving team, the cleaning team. There's just like a bunch of teams, right? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, it was a very good teamwork that we have witnessed. And Alhamdulillah, this was the last program of SOQ for the Maha Ramadan. Inshallah, we will gather in the after Ramadan program, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasten the reappearance of the Imam of the time, who is the actual Wali Amr, who is the actual Imam of the time, the Mawla and Agha of Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. You know, may Allah hasten his reappearance so we can, inshallah, be in his ranks and we attain martyrdom in fighting the oppressors on the side of Haq, with the Haq, inshallah. And with this, we pray for all of you, brothers and sisters who have attended. Sorry it took a long time to finish this presentation. I wish the projector was working, we would have been real quick. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless your families, your kids, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable them to become part of the army of Imam Zaman alayhi salam, where they have effective role in the army of Imam Zaman alayhi salam, and they're not just, you know, sitting and waiting for others to do something. Please remember everyone, each other in your du'as, and forgive each other for any shortcomings that you may have seen during these Ramadan nights and the programs, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins. Please recite as-salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.